Welcome to the Tri-Town Advice Givers Podcast, a podcast dedicated to bringing the Tri-Town and surrounding area residents the best advice from our brightest minds. My name is Mark Borst, your host, and today we are in the Tri-Town Advice Givers studio in St. John, Indiana, with Mike Arnold from Creekside Landscaping. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to the show.
How are you?
Good. So to start, I always ask people to just tell me a little bit about yourself. Who is Mike Arnold?
Okay, so Mike Arnold is first and foremost a Jesus Christ follower, and then secondarily, a business owner. So what that translates to is I do a lot of chaplain work, actually touring with NASCAR. It's not really a regional thing here, but and then around here, I own the company Creekside Landscaping, which is also Creekside Complete Turf Care and Commercial Snow Removal, all the goods. I grew up in South Holland, Illinois, and then Highland, Indiana, and I now live in Dyer. So I've kind of always been in the region. I attend Bethel Church in Crown Point. I'm a big fan of that. Yeah, I don't know. Cool. What kind of questions you got for me?
Cool. So let's just roll into Creekside Landscaping. So how long you been doing it, and kind of what was the jump starter for you to start the business?
Sure. I think Creekside is going to be turning 10 here pretty soon. The jump start for me was I was always working for other landscape companies. I did it with a really good friend of mine for a good number of years. And I was actually going to Purdue Calumet studying architectural engineering. And I was always cutting class to go work outside. So, you know, they always say college is supposed to tell you what you want to do in life. College told me I didn't want to go to college.
Yeah, it led you there.
It led me out. The college led me out of college. I couldn't stand it. And I loved working outside. I always loved being outside in nature and working with my hands and in creating business too. And my parents kind of laid the groundwork for that. Dad was always an entrepreneur. Mom was a big into business. As a matter of fact, she just got done with a very long tenure. She just retired. She was the head of something. It's a real long job title, but basically it's an investment firm that's called Aberdeen and it's centralized in Toronto, Canada. And she was head of that office. So there's just a lot of business principles that I've had in my family that got carried down, and then blend that with loving to be outside, blend it with not wanting to be in college, just kind of produced this baby called Creekside Landscaping.
So, that's cool.
Yeah.
So about 10 years, that's kind of when you branched off on your own?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Roughly. Yeah. Okay.
So why don't you kind of go over the services that you do? Because you guys do a few things like you kind of alluded to.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So first and foremost, we are a design build company. So what that means is that people are hiring us on to do backyard retreats, I would say, really outdoor living spaces. So, you know, your outdoor patios, pool surrounds, we'll do outdoor kitchens, pergolas, pavilions, all that sort of thing. So that's the build side of it, as well as, you know, the plantings, of course, everything that goes into what a landscape company is. Then the other side of our business is turf care. We have multiple crews that are doing weekly mowing. And we're really big into fertilizer as well, really big into fertilizer. We really believe that we're the leading edge of that. There's a lot of people that, quite frankly, we're pulling from other companies that the people are not satisfied with. And they're coming over and they're seeing their neighbor's yard going, why is my neighbor's yard so green and ours is not, when we're using a fertilizer company? And just the steps that we take and the care that we have for each individual customer. So that, and then in the wintertime, we hang up our shovels and hang up our lawnmowers and fertilizer spreaders and stick a bunch of huge blades on the front of our trucks and go plow snow. Commercial snow plowing is a pretty big deal for us. We take it pretty seriously. This year has been pretty busy compared to other years. That's about it.
Cool. So on the design build, the hardscape, if you will, is that where a lot of the business is, or is it pretty equal across?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say everything is, you kind of split things up into thirds. So we've got landscaping would be a third. Our turf care management would be a third. And so would the snow. Of course, once the weather breaks, it's kind of like half and half, if you will. You know, it's just half of the efforts are going to landscaping come springtime, at least. I mean, if there's the amount of calls that we get in that time frame is insane. So,
okay. On the hardscape side, if I was going to call you up today to come out and do a bid, like, I know it's going to be dependent on size, but from the time I get a bid till the time I can enjoy that patio, what's the kind of the time frame involved?
Yeah. So that goes to what our procedure is. You need a design. It's not exactly, you know, first call, then consultation, then contract. It's really first call. We come out and we discuss, you know, the design with you that really needs to happen. Then from there, there's a design process, and we kind of go back and forth a little bit. We'll send images of the house. We do 3D renderings of what the house actually looks like, down to the gutter. I mean, we're very serious about it. I seriously believe that you can't make a very good decision about your landscaping if you don't see it with your house in it.
Sure.
And so I'm not doing my customer a good service if I don't show them that. So I'd say, you know, between the first call and the time that I come out, maybe a day, maybe 2 days if it's really, really hectic, but I try to get out there as quick as possible. Design time turnaround could be anywhere from a week to 3 weeks. And that, again, is just completely contingent on how busy the season is. Sure. Then from the time the design is agreed on and we say, hey, this is awesome, let's go with it, to the time that we're digging the hole for the foundation, that could be, that's usually anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. So the real hectic part of spring, you might be looking at 8 weeks. Okay. When we simmer out a little bit in the summer, we're looking probably more towards 6 weeks or so.
Okay. So if you're not already on the schedule this year.
If you're not already on the schedule this year, you're looking at like, what is today? February 21st. Right now, we're probably booked out till first or mid-May.
Okay.
So.
Okay. So you said that you really pay attention to the details, and then you mentioned architecture design that you started in school. Is that kind of where all that blended together?
So. Yeah, okay. You could say that. You could also say the Legos that I played with as a kid, right? Okay. You know, building blocks. Yes and no. I think that I do have an eye personally for design, but okay. I do rely heavily on the people that have the credentials that I do not. If I don't have a strength, I find the people that do.
Sure.
And the people that are on my design team are... they've got their degree in horticulture. They know design, just the element of design backwards mm-hmm. and forwards. I mean, that is what they live and breathe is design. They know their plants extremely well. So I rely pretty heavily on that. And of course, I do put my input in like, hey, I think a fire pit would look great over there. You know,
yeah.
A pool would be sweet right there, you know? So
cool. So it's definitely not a one-man show. You've got multiple people touching the project along the way.
Totally. So I am kind of limited my position in the company. I'm the owner, but what my active role in producing for the company would really be in the sales, I guess you could say. And I hate to call myself a salesman because I'm more of a friend to right. you. I'm a relationship grower, not a salesperson. But regardless, I'm the first point of contact. Then it goes to my designer. So that's another person. And then it goes to my construction foreman. That's another person. Then they're going to be talking with either one of my office girls. Those are the people. And then, of course, the people that are actually building it hands on deck, there's 3 or 4 people that will be out there as well. So yeah, there is a number of people, but we do try to keep it centralized to 1 or 2 main contacts.
Okay.
So that there's, you know, organization.
So as far as separating the business, are the same people involved in the hardscape that are in the landscaping and the snow removal? Are they doing stuff across the board?
Good question. Yeah. So let's say once spring and summer hits, there is a little bit of a line in the sand. So, I mean, when there's a need, you know, our guys are very gracious to come on over to the other side. If there's a guy who's, say, you know, there's an illness in the family, he's got to take care of some kids or something like that, you know, we're usually pretty lenient with... to a certain degree,
right?
You know, lenient, say, okay, that's all right. Stay home, do what you got to do. And we'll have one of the patio guys come over and mow free for the day. Or on the flip side, we're out doing a sod job and we need to get this sod down today because it's a lot of it and the sun is baking. We might pull some mowing guys over to the other side. But usually for the most part, our patio guys are our patio guys. Our planting guys are our planting guys. Mowing, same. Fertilizer, the same. Because we really believe that our guys are not just laborers. They're not just hands on deck. They're people that have a skill. And I'm not doing my job if I don't efficiently maximize what their skill is and stick them and keep them where they are in their best mm-hmm. skill set. But on the snow side, then yes, everybody's
sure.
all hands on deck. I mean, right. even my office manager was saying, hey, I got my boots on, let's go. You know, so.
Yeah. I think definitely the keeping people in the right spots is beneficial to you as the business owner.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. You're a resource connector for the most part, right?
Right.
So.
Yeah, for sure. In any business, but especially in your business, the scalability is really about good employees. So what's been your tricks, techniques to either find or keep the good guys?
Keeping is huge.
Yeah.
Keeping's huge.
Yeah. Well, you got to find them first.
You got to find them first. Yeah. Yeah. But I'd rather spend my efforts on keeping than finding.
Well, for sure. Yeah.
I found too that when we treat our guys really well and they like where they work, they tend to say, hey, I heard a guy that is looking for work. He's a really good guy. I've heard about him. That's the way that I prefer to bring people in, is through the recommendation of my guys that I already trust.
So, 'cause they don't want to have that bad name. You brought this guy in. Now you're kind of responsible for him.
I know. And you know what? That's actually, that's one of the reasons that they will be a little bit hesitant. But right. I try to encourage that. I'm like, look, this isn't on you. If he ends up not being that great, it's not the worst thing in the world. But my biggest thing is trust. There's a lot of equipment. I got you on a customer's property that I have a relationship with. There's a lot of trust that needs to happen there. So if I can trust you, I can build your skill. You know what I mean? So
true.
Yeah. I want to find people that are loyal, that are dedicated, that I believe are trustworthy. If I need to outsource or find somebody, okay, you know, there's the multiple means, you know, there's social media and all that kind of stuff. And of course, we're always having people call in and send in resumes. And so we have a real long list of people that we could pick from for sure. But really happy with our core group of guys right now. I can't say enough about them. I mean, you look at a company our size and what we're doing, how we're growing, enough cannot be said about the success of a company being the people behind it. Not just me. Sure. I am such a small element now to the success of our company. And it has so much to do with the people that are behind it.
And I think that's a huge statement about you as a person, as a business owner, because some business owners don't get that part. Mm-hmm. And they think that if they don't have their hands on everything, that the business can't grow, which in my opinion is the exact opposite. Like you do, and you've said it a couple of times, you do what you do well. And let the other people do what they do well. Mm-hmm. And that's how you're going to grow any company.
100%. 100%. Yeah. And I mean, you have to have owner, right? You have to have that type of leadership. And don't get me wrong, we call it parachuting, right? Because I have main manager and I really let him take control of the majority of the things with the staff. And there'll be times where I see something, an immediate need, and I go, hey, you guys got to do this. You got to do this. Got to do this. And that's me. We call it parachuting. And he goes, Mike, stop parachuting in. I got this. And that's kind of hard to let go of, but it's easier the more you trust your people and the more time goes on and the relationships build.
And that goes to, I think, the trust and the longevity of your manager being around you. So the manager can kind of flow what he thinks your decision would be into that situation.
Yeah. So yes, for sure. However, the guy that I got is phenomenal. And I mean, frankly, there's a lot of times where I think I need to be around him and look at how he's doing things. Because I really do. He's a great guy. He's got a lot of talent and management capabilities and a lot of like his ability to grow relationships with his people. There's qualities about him that I don't have. And of course, there's qualities about me that he wouldn't have. But we really lean off each other. It's not a one-way thing where he needs to be around me and see how I'm doing things.
Right.
It's really a team. And I'm going to him as much as he's coming to me and going, how do you think this should go? It's what are your sights into this?
Yeah. So did you go out and find him or did he work for you and he grew into that?
Yes. So there was actually a customer of mine that had brought us together. Actually, as a matter of fact. Awesome. And it was in the time where my company was looking to grow in the fertilizer area. And he was sort of off doing a kind of growing a company with somebody else. And it just, you know, things, I guess, weren't really working out. And I had caught wind that, you know, he might be looking. And so I gave him a call and had really great conversation with him that lasted number of hours actually on the phone. I didn't expect that. I expected to be a 5-minute conversation like, hey, you know, heard you're looking, blah, blah, blah. And we start talking company culture and I'm like, okay, so this might be going somewhere. So yeah. And it started out as, you know, him helping us build our fertilizer program and quickly grew to, it wasn't even a question. You're my general manager. No question. You know, this is happening. So yeah.
That's the best way.
Absolutely.
When it just falls like that, falls into place.
Mm-hmm.
That's very cool. And I'm sure this is maybe a question more for him. So on the landscape side, how are you making sure that all the customers are being cared for the same?
As far as like all branches?
Well, in each individual branch. So if I'm a landscape customer and I'm on a weekly schedule, that not only is every week going to be the same, but the neighbor across the street is going to, or the neighbor down, you know?
Sure. Well, these questions kind of have to be taken division by division. You can split it between our construction and our service. Service being fertilizer, mowing, and snow. Those are simple. Those are going out and just checking. That's really it. And having our foreman go out and do quality checks and making sure that everything is, you know, plowing. Let's make sure that it's curb to curb. I want to be able to see those curbs exposed. You know, if it's not, then one, we need to have a conversation with our guys. And then two, my guy has a plow on. So we're going to go out and fix that issue. If it's fertilizer, I don't think we had one single service call last year. That's usually a good gauge, is if a technician is receiving a lot of service calls to, hey, I got weeds growing all over the place. This thing isn't working. You need to come out and spot treat. Well, we're ready on top of that kind of stuff. Landscaping, one thing that we're actually doing this year because of what you just said is we're going to all of our projects from the year prior, starting in a couple weeks from now, before we get going on 2018's projects, sending out guys just to go, okay, just going to look over everything, make sure everything's looking okay. You know, make sure the bricks haven't settled to make sure the, I don't know, the mulch isn't flying away or whatever, right. Whatever the case may be. I think that's huge. And my customers can see that. No other company does that. It's kind of like a set it and forget it and get the check and walk away.
Sure.
I want that customer's return business and I want them to refer me and I want the relationship. So I want to go out there and I want to beat them to the call, right? If there's going to be somebody calling somebody about something that went wrong, I want it to be me saying, hey, I saw something wrong with your job that we did and we fixed it.
Yeah.
So no stress.
Right. And I think that's huge for any company to be on top of it and to grow, because you do want those referrals.
Yeah.
And I've seen it in companies where something does blow up at a job, but you're proactive like that and they still refer.
Right. Right.
Because they like how it was handled.
Exactly. Okay. And the other thing too is customers understand too, like nobody's perfect.
Sure.
You know, there's not a single perfect company out there. Maybe it's Apple. I don't know. You know, but for us, like we do everything we can and we strive to be the best, but we're going to fail along the way. But when we fail, it's how we respond to that and how we grow from that, you know?
Yeah,
for sure.
So going back the 10 years, or maybe even when you were partnered with the previous, is there one thing that you're doing now that you wish you would have learned earlier?
All of it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, of course the craft of it, right? There's certain things that I'm doing now that I wasn't doing with our projects at the very beginning. And that wasn't negligence. That was just, we learn better ways.
Sure.
And on top of that too, we work a lot with a paver company called Unilock. And Unilock is always very adamant about continuing education. And they're doing their own research and telling us, hey, we think that this is a better way to base our patios now. We would recommend this. And so that's nothing that, again, it wasn't negligence. And there was a lot of lessons that I learned that I wouldn't trade. And I, you know, you got to learn them that way.
And
you kind of have to fall forward.
Exactly. I was just going to say, without the failures, you can't, it's hard to grow.
Yeah.
If you quote unquote are doing everything perfect,
right,
then how are you going to get bigger and better?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. So you mentioned the Unilock. So I know they're a national company. So they do really take into that though. They want the end product to be something that they can be proud of. So it all goes back and forth.
Totally. Yeah. And from their vantage point, it makes sense.
Sure.
The more I help this contractor grow, the more that we're going to grow, because they're using solely our product. They have a program called the Unilock Authorized Contractor Program. There's a number of us. I'd honestly say by now it's half of the contractors in Northwest Indiana, because it's just how it goes. But they do make sure that their contractors are abiding by certain rules that they have set for installation procedures, certain codes of conduct that they want. If you're carrying their brand, they want you acting in a certain way.
Right.
I'm sure, I haven't heard any stories about it, but I'm sure that there's been times where that status was revoked for that not being followed through. So yeah, Unilock, they're a real good company. I like using them a lot. There's a number of them though. There's Bellgard in the area. There's Techo Block. They're trying to make their way in. They're more of a Canadian based company and they've got some cool products too. But Unilock by far, in my experience, has had the most versatile products, the most lifetime capable products. As a matter of fact, they have lifetime guarantees on their product. I don't really see anybody else doing that.
Right.
They go the extra step too and back up my warranty, which is nuts. I wouldn't back up anybody else's warranty, man. That's scary. That's a big guy covering a little guy.
Yeah.
I have a 5-year workmanship warranty on all of our projects. Okay. If something fails within that 5 years, come out and fix it. No questions asked. However, if a customer calls me and says, hey, Mike, patio you installed last year, got a big sinkhole in it. First of all, that wouldn't happen. But just say, just hypothetically, say I go, no thanks, not going to do it. Unilock is going to call me up, revoke my authorized contractor status, and then send out another contractor that is an authorized contractor to fix it.
Fix the mess.
Yeah.
So wow. That says a lot about them.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. They're very invested, not just in their product, but in their contractors.
Yeah.
I have to say.
And that goes back to the whole trust thing to the employees. So the trust is going from from Unilock to the contractor, the contractor, the employees, it makes the whole process much smoother. Mm-hmm. And in the end, the client's happier.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So the NASCAR you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
What kind of duties do you have? Just talk a little bit about that. It intrigues me.
Yeah. So with NASCAR, I think it was back in the 70s, there was a group of NASCAR drivers. I don't know if it was a group or if it was just a couple of them, but they started recognizing that they weren't at church on Sunday. And why? It's because they were racing on Sunday. NASCAR is really like a traveling circus. It's just a bunch of people. It's the same people, whether it's Daytona or Talladega or Phoenix or Chicagoland Speedway. They all are traveling with the same people. So it's a possibility to have a congregation that way. So they formed something called Motor Racing Outreach. Motor Racing Outreach has been around for a very long time and has since from that time grown to be not just in NASCAR. They have branches that we have a guy in AMA, which is super bikes and all that kind of stuff, a number of track chaplains. What I specifically do is I tour with NASCAR's Canadian division. So that's called the NASCAR Pinty's series. Pinty's, it's like Johnsonville Brats here. Well, it's Pinty's chicken up there. So they have different brands in Canada.
Yeah.
It's a national series. It goes from Alberta all the way to Nova Scotia, across the entire country of Canada. So what will happen for me is I work all week and I get a flight that's as late as possible on a Friday, fly out. And Saturday is usually practice, qualifying, and race day. So I'm there for, you know, anywhere from 12 to 14 hours. And then I'll get on a plane on Sunday and fly right back. My practical duties out there are give the race invocation right before the national anthem. You know, do a prayer for the driver's meeting, the NASCAR driver's meeting, and any kind of trauma response. So if there's somebody that's injured, has to go to the hospital, I'll usually ride in the ambulance with them. I'll stay with them at the hospital, stay with their families, communicate stuff from NASCAR to the hospital, all that kind of stuff. And then my unofficial duties, I guess you could say, not really a duty, is to grow relationships with people for the sake of Jesus. It's to establish relationships that are, I guess, putting myself in a trust position with somebody else. And I've grown friendships over the past 3 or 4 years with people to where they can come to me and, you know, in a real tough time. I've had people that on race day, they got, you know, the media's in their face, the press and the cameras are in their face, and they don't know what to do. They've got, you know, somebody that in the hospital that's really near and dear to them that nobody else knows about, and they're about to break down. And why am I the first person they go to? Because I have a friendship built with them. I have a trust built with them.
Sure.
And I'm able to pray with them and just be there. And that's really it, is just being available is the biggest thing. So
how did you get involved in that?
I got involved with that by knowing the NASCAR Truck Series chaplain. I had met him quite a number of years back and we just grew a friendship. And there was a mission trip that we went to in Haiti. And I was the only non-NASCAR community member that was on this trip, kind of looking around like, I don't know what I'm doing here, you know. But again, that also grew friendships and relationships to the point where one day he calls me and goes, hey, I got a proposal for you. Like, okay. So people at Motor Racing Outreach have been thinking about asking you to be the Chicagoland Speedway chaplain. I'm like, oh, that sounds kind of cool. And then he goes, but then we thought no. Okay, what's the purpose of this call, you know? He says, we'd actually like you to be the chaplain with a national NASCAR series. And I said, take a few weeks to think about it. I said, yes, absolutely. On that phone call, I said, absolutely, yes. That sounds fantastic. Because I've always loved motorsports and I've always loved ministry. So combining the two to me was like, I love it.
That's cool. I still love it. Yeah.
So
how long have you been doing that?
This will be my fourth year.
Okay.
Yeah. I came in 4 years ago on the tail end of the series. So yeah.
And what's the season go from? Is it start the same time like Daytona just happened?
So yeah, Daytona just happened. We're in Canada, so, you know, there's a lot of our tracks are probably still covered with snow. So, or if it's not, it's flooded like around here right now. We start mid-May or so, and that goes till about late September or so. So it's
pretty much every weekend?
Mostly every other.
Okay.
There's a couple that are back-to-back, but it's for the most part, it's every other week. Very, very busy.
Yeah.
Very busy Mike.
Yeah. That's cool, though.
I love it.
Yeah. So is there anything that I didn't ask you that you want to talk about?
I don't know. Do you want to know any of my secrets? What?
Sure.
You tell me. What do you want to know?
Yeah. Sure. Anything you want to reveal, whatever secrets you want.
Man, I'm an open book. Yeah, I got nothing. I don't feel like I'm that interesting, but I got some cool stuff going on in life. I've been really, really blessed. I really don't feel like I deserve to be in the place that I'm at, but God has definitely blessed me a lot. I got some cool opportunities. You know, I got some growing things with the company that I'm really enjoying. I couldn't be happier with the people that are behind me. and supporting me. That's with my company. That's with the ministry. That's, you know, my girlfriend, my family. I got people that support me left and right. I couldn't be more fortunate.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So if someone wants to learn more about you or the company, what's the best way to stalk you?
Instagram.
Okay.
Instagram or Facebook.
Okay.
So if somebody wanted to go to Instagram, we've got two. We've got the Creekside one. The Creekside handle for Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter is all the same. That's Creekside NWI is in Northwest Indiana. So okay. Creekside NWI. That's twitter.com/Creekside NWI or same thing with Instagram. My personal Instagram would be just Mike Arnold. MikeArnold. That's about it.
Okay, cool. All right. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.